Welcome to Mythical, the podcast that wanders down the dark and fantastical pages of fairy tales. This season, I'm reading from the Fairy Tales of the Brothers Grimm. Today's story is Little Snow White. I'm the narrator, and I'll begin as all good stories should, with Once Upon a Time. Once upon a time, in the middle of winter, when snowflakes were falling like feathers from the sky, a beautiful queen was sitting and sewing at a window with a black ebony frame. And as she was sewing and looking out the window at the snow, she pricked her finger with the needle, and three drops of blood fell on the snow. The red looked so beautiful on the white snow that she thought to herself, "If only I had a child as white as snow, as red as blood, and as black as the wood of the window frame." Soon thereafter, she gave birth to a little daughter who was as white as snow, as red as blood, and her hair as black as ebony. That's why the child was called Little Snow White. That's such an odd thing to wish for after you've hurt yourself. "Oh no, I've fallen down. I scraped my knee. Oh, but look at how beautiful the blood looks on the ground. Oh man, I wish I had a daughter and that she was as red as my blood and as pale as my skin, because I am so very pale, and as black as this asphalt." What a gorgeous child. I mean, she grows up to be beautiful, but still, it's such a weird thing to wish for after you've hurt yourself. The queen was the most beautiful woman in the entire land, and very proud about her beauty. She also had a mirror, and every morning she stepped in front of it and said, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?" The mirror would answer,
"You, my queen, are the fairest of all."
And then she knew for certain that there was nobody more beautiful in the entire world. However, little Snow White grew up, and when she was 7 years old, she was so beautiful that her beauty surpassed even that of the queen. And when the queen asked the mirror, "Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?" The mirror answered,
"You, my queen, may have a beauty quite rare, but little Snow White is a thousand times more fair."
When the queen heard the mirror speak this way, she became pale with envy, and from that hour onward, she hated Snow White. And when she looked at her and thought that little Snow White was to blame that she, the queen, was no longer the most beautiful woman in the world, her heart turned against little Snow White. Her jealousy kept upsetting her, and so she summoned the huntsman and said, "Take the child out into the forest to a spot far from here. Then stab her to death, and bring me back her lungs and liver as proof of your deed. After that, I'll cook them with salt and eat them." The huntsman took little Snow White and led her out into the forest. But when he drew his hunting knife and was about to stab her, she began to weep and pleaded so much to let her live and promise never to return, but to run deeper into the forest. The huntsman was moved to pity, also because she was so beautiful. And at this point, she's 7, and her mom hates her so much, and she knows that her mom hates her so much that she would kill her. That is not something you want to be thinking about when you're 7, is how much your mom wants you dead. And after she had wished so much for a child of her own, this woman has issues. Anyway, he thought the wild beasts in the forest would soon devour her.
"I'm glad that I don't have to kill her."
Just then, a young boar came dashing by, and the huntsman stabbed it to death. He took out the lungs and liver and brought them to the queen as proof that the child was dead. Then she boiled them in salt, ate them, and thought that she had eaten little Snow White's lungs and liver. Meanwhile, little Snow White was so all alone in the huge forest that she became afraid and began to run and run over sharp stones and through thorn bushes. She ran the entire day. That is quite a lot of stamina, but kids have all the energy in the world. Finally, as the sun was about to set, she came upon a little cottage that belonged to 7 dwarves. However, they were not at home, but had gone to the mines. When little Snow White entered, she found everything tiny, but dainty and neat. There was a little table with a white tablecloth, and on it were 7 little plates with 7 tiny spoons, 7 tiny knives and tiny forks, and 7 tiny cups. In a row against the wall stood 7 little beds recently covered with sheets.
Oh, getting into a bed with clean sheets is the best feeling in the world.
Since she was so hungry and thirsty, little Snow White ate some vegetables and bread from each of the little plates and had a drop of wine to drink out of each of the tiny cups.
I guess in fairy tales you're allowed to drink alcohol when you're 7.
Is she still 7, though? There was no obvious time jump. Unless the queen's hatred grew over the course of years. But it doesn't sound like that. And since she was so tired, she wanted to lay down and sleep. So she began trying out the beds, but none of them suited her until she found that the 7th one was just right. So she lay down in it and fell asleep, throwing in a little Goldilocks and the 3 Bears there.
I see you, Grimm Brothers.
When it turned night, the 7 dwarves returned home from their work and lit their 7 little candles. Then they saw that someone had been in their house. The first dwarf said,
"Who's been sitting in my chair? Who's eaten off my plate?"
said the second.
"Who's eaten some of my bread?" said the third.
"Who's eating some of my vegetables?" said the fourth.
"Who's been using my little fork?"
said the fifth.
"Who's been cutting with my little knife?"
said the sixth.
"Who's had something to drink from my little cup?" said the seventh.
Then the first dwarf looked around and said,
"Who's been sleeping in my bed?"
Then the second cried out,
"Someone's been sleeping in my bed."
And he was followed by each one of them until the 7th dwarf looked at his bed and saw little Snow White lying there asleep. The others came running over to him, and they were so astounded that they screamed and fetched their 7 little candles to observe little Snow White.
"Oh, my lord! Oh, my lord!" they exclaimed.
"Look how beautiful she is!"
They took great delight in her, but didn't wake her up. Instead, they let her sleep in the bed, while the 7th dwarf spent an hour in each one of his companions' bed until the night had passed.
Wow, that'd be a very, very long night. Very annoying to have to wake up every hour to
switch beds. If they had more blankets and pillows, he could have put those on the floor and made a little bed. That might have been more comfortable than having to shift every hour. When little Snow White awoke, they asked her who she was and how she managed to come to their cottage. And then she told them how her mother had wanted to have her killed, how the huntsman had spared her life, and how she had run all day until she had eventually arrived at their cottage. Then the dwarfs took pity on her and said,
"If you'll keep house for us, cook, sew, make the beds, wash and knit, and if you'll keep everything neat and orderly, you can stay with us, and we'll provide you with everything you need. When we come home in the evening, dinner must be ready. During the day, we're in the mines and dig for gold. You'll be alone, and we'll have to watch out for the queen and not let anyone enter the cottage."
In the meantime, the queen believed that she was once again the most beautiful woman in the land, and stepped before her mirror and asked,
"Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?"
The mirror answered,
"You, my queen, may have a beauty quite rare, but beyond the 7 mountains this I must tell. Little Snow White is living quite well. Indeed, she's still 1,000 times more fair."
When the queen heard this, she was horrified, for she saw that she had been deceived, and that the huntsman had not killed little Snow White, since nobody but the 7 dwarves lived in the 7 mountains range. The queen knew immediately that little Snow White was dwelling with them, and began once again plotting ways to kill her. As long as the mirror refused to say that she was the most beautiful woman in the land, she would remain upset. Since she couldn't be absolutely certain and didn't trust anyone, she disguised herself as an old peddler woman, painted her face so that nobody could recognize her, and went to the cottage of the 7 dwarves, where she knocked at the door and cried out,
"Open up, open up, I'm the old peddler woman. I've got pretty wares for sale."
If you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. Where's little Snow White's dad in this? It didn't explicitly say that he died. Just kind of disappeared. Wasn't important to the story. The Brothers Grimm didn't feel like writing him in.
Little Snow White looked out of the window. What do you have for sale?
Stay laces, dear child, the old woman replied, and took out a lace woven from yellow, red, and blue silk. Do you want it?
Well, yes, said Little Snow White, and thought, I can certainly let this good old woman inside. She's honest enough.
So Little Snow White unbolted the door and bought the lace.
My goodness, you're so sloppily laced up, said the old woman. Come, I'll lace you up properly for once.
Little Snow White stood in front of the old woman, who took the lace and tied it around Little Snow White so tightly that she lost her breath and fell down as if dead. Then the queen was satisfied and left. Something that movies and TV taught me was that you always make sure they're really dead. If they fall in a river, most likely not dead. If they die off screen, most likely not dead. Really, you need to check for a pulse. Or for good measure, stab her in the chest. Not long after nightfall, the dwarves came home, and when they saw their dear Snow White lying on the ground, they were horrified, for she seemed to be dead. They lifted her up, and when they saw that she was laced too tightly, they cut the stay laces in two. At once she began to breathe a little, and after a while she had fully revived.
That was nobody else but the queen, they said. She wanted to take your life. Be careful, and don't let anyone else enter the cottage.
Now the queen asked the mirror,
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?
The mirror answered,
You, my queen, may have a beauty quite rare, but little Snow White's alive, and this I must tell. She's with the dwarves and doing quite well. Indeed, she's still 1,000 times more fair.
The queen was so horrified that all of her blood rushed to her heart when she realized that little Snow White was alive once again. She just seemed dead. And as we know, there's a difference between dead-dead and mostly dead. So she began thinking day and night how she could put an end to little Snow White. Finally, she made a poisoned comb, disguised herself in a completely different shape, and went off to the dwarf's cottage once again. When she knocked on the door, however, little Snow White called out,
I'm not allowed to let anyone enter.
The queen then took out the comb, and when little Snow White saw it shine, and that the woman was someone entirely different from the one she had previously met, she opened the door and bought the comb.
Come, said the peddler woman. I'll also comb your hair.
But no sooner did the old woman stick the comb in little Snow White's hair than the maiden fell down and was dead.
Now you'll remain lying there,
the queen said, and her heart had become lighter as she returned home. However, the dwarfs came just in the nick of time. When they saw what had happened, they pulled the poison comb out of little Snow White's hair, and she opened her eyes and was alive again. It's not a very good poisonous comb if the poison doesn't actually get into her system. She promised the dwarves that she would certainly not let anyone inside again. We all know that's a lie. She's not the smartest child. Now the queen stepped in front of her mirror once more and asked,
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who in this land is fairest of all?
The mirror answered,
You, my queen, may have a beauty quite rare, but little Snow White's alive. This I must tell. She's with the dwarves and doing quite well. Indeed, she's still 1,000 times more fair.
It must take a very long time for the queen to get back to her castle. It's right around the time when Snow White wakes back up, and the dwarves have to come home from work. When the queen heard this once again, she trembled and shook with rage.
Little Snow White shall die, she exclaimed, even if it costs me my own life.
Then she went into a secret chamber where no one was allowed to enter. Once inside, she made a deadly, poisonous apple. On the outside, it looked beautiful with red cheeks. Anyone who saw it would be enticed to take a bite. Thereafter, she disguised herself as a peasant woman,
went to the dwarf's cottage and knocked on the door. Little Snow White looked and said, "I'm not allowed to let anyone inside. The 7 dwarfs have strictly forbidden me."
"Well, if you don't want to let me in, I can't force you," answered the peasant woman. "I'll surely get rid of my apples in time. But let me give you one to test."
"No," said little Snow White. "I'm not allowed to take anything. The dwarves won't let me."
"You're probably afraid," said the old woman. "Look, I'll cut the apple in 2. You eat the beautiful red half."
However, the apple had been made with such cunning that only the red part was poisoned. When little Snow White saw the peasant woman eating her half, and when her desire to taste the apple grew stronger, she finally let the peasant woman give her the other half through the window. As soon as she took a bite of the apple, she fell to the ground and was dead. The queen rejoiced, went home, and asked the mirror,
"Mirror, mirror on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?"
And the mirror answered,
"You, my queen, are now fairest of all."
"Now I can rest in peace," she said. "Once again, I'm the most beautiful in the land, and Snow White will remain dead this time."
Okay, so the queen is Snow White's mom, and she's beautiful. Did she not think that when she had a child, her daughter would also be beautiful? And the king is probably not hideous. He's probably a good-looking dude. So yeah, their daughter is going to be good-looking. Queen, this is your own daughter. Can't go around murdering your kids.
When the dwarfs came home from the mines that evening, they found little Snow White lying on the ground, and she was dead. They unlaced her and tried to find something poisonous in her hair, but nothing helped. They couldn't revive her. So they laid her on a bier, and all 7 of them sat down beside it and wept for 3 whole days. Then they intended to bury her, but she looked more alive than dead, and she still had such pretty red cheeks. So instead, they made a glass coffin and placed her inside so that she could easily be seen. Then they wrote her name on the coffin in gold letters and added the family name. One of the dwarves remained at home every day to keep watch over her. So little Snow White lay in the coffin for a long, long time, but did not rot. She was still white as snow and red as blood, and if her eyes could have opened, she would have been black as ebony, for she lay there as if she were sleeping.
Are the dwarves worried that someone's going to come and steal her? That would just be creepy.
Now it happened that a prince came to the dwarf's cottage one day and wanted to spend the night there. When he entered the room and saw little Snow White lying in the coffin and the 7 little candles casting their light right on her, he couldn't get enough of her beauty. Then he read the golden inscription and saw that she was a princess. So he asked the dwarves to sell him the coffin with the dead little Snow White inside.
I don't know what's creepier, if he had just stolen the coffin or if he wants to buy it. And I love that he thinks that she's so beautiful that he just can't handle it. But then, she's a princess? Jackpot! Except you can't marry a dead girl.
But they wouldn't accept all the gold in the world for it. Then he pleaded with them to give little Snow White to him as a gift, because he couldn't live without gazing upon her. And he would honor her and hold her in high regard as his most beloved in the world. Well, the dwarfs took pity on him and gave him the coffin, and the prince had it carried to his castle. It was then placed in his room, where he himself sat the entire day and couldn't take his eyes off her.
This sounds less like love and more like a problem.
And when he had to leave the room and couldn't see little Snow White, he became sad. Indeed, he couldn't eat a thing unless he was standing near the coffin. The prince definitely has a problem. This is very creepy.
And you're just sleeping with a dead person in your room? Yeah, it's very unsettling.
However, the servants who had to carry the coffin from place to place in the castle all the time became angry about this.
I would also be very upset if I had to carry around a dead girl all the time.
And at one time, a servant opened the coffin, lifted little Snow White into the air and said,
"Why must we be plagued with so much work, all because of a dead maiden?"
On saying this, he shoved Little Snow White's back with his hand, and out popped the nasty piece of apple that had been stuck in Little Snow White's throat, and she was once again alive. So she just needed the Heimlich. The queen is supposed to be very good at magic, but she can't make a poison that sticks. As soon as this happened, she went to the prince, and when he saw his dear little Snow White alive, he rejoiced so much that he didn't know what to do. Then they sat down at the dinner table and ate with delight.
I am sure she was starving.
Also, is she still 7? Because I'm pretty sure she didn't age while she was sleeping. Dead. Fake dead. Mostly dead. The wedding was planned for the next day, and Snow White's godless mother was also invited to attend. When she now stepped before the mirror, she said,
"Mirror, mirror on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?"
And the mirror replied,
"You, my queen, may have a beauty quite rare, but a little Snow White is 1,000 times more fair."
When she heard this, she was horrified and became so afraid, so very afraid, that she didn't know what to do. However, her jealousy drove her so much that she wanted to be seen at the wedding. When she arrived, she saw that Little Snow White was the bride. Iron slippers were then heated over a fire. The queen had to put them on and dance in them, and her feet were miserably burned. But she had to keep dancing in them until she danced herself to death. The end. The moral of today's story is if you want something done right, do it yourself. But make sure that the deed is actually done. Don't just assume. Also, don't go around buying dead people. It's creepy. One of my favorite parts of that story is that the servant gets so upset at their job, which rightfully so, it's a terrible task, that he picks up Snow White and is so mad that just thumps her on the back. I just think that part is hilarious. In the final version that the Grimm's brother edited, they changed the name from Little Snow White to Snow White, the name that we more commonly know the story by. And in the later version of Snow White, Snow White's mother is not the evil queen. Snow White's mother dies shortly after having Snow White. The king then marries again, so the evil queen is Snow White's stepmother. So her jealousy makes a little more sense that she would be so jealous of the princess and her beauty, because I'm very surprised that a mother's love does not come through for Snow White. The evil queen's call to the mirror is slightly different, only by one word. Rather than asking who in the land is fairest of all, she asks who in this realm is the fairest of all. This version has a little bit more dialogue, and also a few more descriptive words as it goes along. We get a little bit more dialogue between Snow White and the huntsman before he decides not to kill her, though he is still very grateful that he does not have to murder someone so beautiful. Snow White is still 7 when she surpasses the queen's beauty. In this story, before Snow White falls asleep, we're also told that, don't worry, she says her prayers before she goes to bed, which I think is a funny little add-in. The dwarves again remind Snow White before they leave for work, "Hey, your stepmother is evil. Soon she's going to know that you're here, so P.S. don't let anyone in or talk to anyone, because, hello, she also does magic." Remember the first time that the mirror tells the queen that Snow White is alive? He says that she's but beyond the mountains where the 7 dwarves dwell, rather than beyond the 7 mountains. We still get the stay laces and the comb and the apple of 2 different colors. One side is white, one side is red. In the later version, every time that the queen tries to kill Snow White, she gives some sort of a victorious exclamation, such as, "Well, you used to be the fairest in the realm, but not now." Or, "You paragon of beauty, now you're finished." And the final one after the apple, "White as snow, red as blood, black as ebony. This time the dwarves won't be able to bring you back to life." Almost as if she's shoving it in Snow White's face that she is no longer the most beautiful in the land. But I'm sure that Snow White wasn't even thinking about that. It's probably not something she wanted. She was 7.
She probably just wanted to play and learn about being a princess. I'm sure she didn't think, oh, I'm more beautiful than my stepmother. Ha ha ha. In this one, it is noted that the dwarves wash Snow White with water and wine when they can't find the poison. Which I have to think, does water and wine treat poison? The dwarves carried her coffin to the top of a mountain. And lots of animals came and wept for Snow White. An owl, a raven, and a dove. Rather than saying it was a long, long time that Snow White lay there. This version says that it was many, many years. So we have more of a time frame for when the prince comes along. So it is possible that Snow White and the prince were around the same age before she died. But still, she couldn't have aged while she was mostly dead. The way that Snow White is revived is also different in this version. They don't get all the way back to the castle. After the dwarves give the coffin to the prince, he orders his servants to carry the coffin on their shoulders. But they stumble over some shrubs, and the jolt causes the poisoned apple to be released from her throat. And it's not long before she opens her eyes, lifts the lid, sits up, and goes, "Where am I?" And then the prince is so excited, of course. He says that he'll love her more than anything in the world. Come to me with my castle and I'll make you my wife. Here's why Snow White says yes. She felt that he was so sincere that she went with him. That's it. He just seemed honest. At the end of this version, the wording is slightly different for how the queen dies. Once the evil queen comes to the wedding, it says that iron slippers had already been heated over a fire and they were brought to her with tongs. Which in this version, it makes it seem as though they invited her on purpose. They knew she was going to be there. So they already have this planned that she would dance to death. In the version that we heard today, it said that they were heated after she showed up. Though I'm sure that they still knew that she would come, I'm sure that Snow White told the prince all of the evil things that she had done, and so they had this plan. But in the later version, it's made a little more clear that they had intended to give her iron hot shoes. Today's story of Little Snow White was read from the complete first edition, The Original Folk and Fairy Tales of the Brothers Grimm, translated and edited by Jack Zipes. If there is a fairy tale that you would like me to read aloud, you can email the show at mythicalthepodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at mythicalpodcast on Twitter and Instagram, and follow me there for behind the scenes, updates, and clues to each week's story. Please rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts, as it will help more people find the show, and I greatly appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed today's story. I'm the narrator, and this is Mythical.